Good morning, everyone. In our adult Bible study, I have been looking at the book of 1 Peter. And this morning, I want to continue from the same book. I think last week, Arturo said, you know, if you follow a book, you don't have to spend time trying to decide what to speak, you know, when you are speaking. So I'm taking his advice. But before I start looking at the Word of God, I want to take a moment to thank all of you for your prayers for Andrew and Preeti. And by God's grace, everything went well that day. And as you all know, we were very saddened by the fact that many who attended the wedding has come down with COVID. And had to go through a few days of difficulties, some more than others. So I am very thankful that everyone has recovered without needing any hospitalization or complications. And you have suffered much on our behalf. And all of you showed much grace as he went through the difficulty. And we are truly grateful to all of you. I told my wife that this may be one of those weddings where we might get thank you notes from those who did not attend the wedding. You know, saying thank you for not inviting us to your son's wedding. Well, many of our folks are not able to attend the adult Sunday school because of the children's Sunday school. So for continuity's sake, I want to do a short review of what we had already looked before I get into the thoughts that I want to share today. You know, my wife told me the other day that you linger at the same place too long. You know, our wives are extremely good critics. And but today I'm still looking at the first chapter of the First Peter. And I promise I will move on next time I speak. You know, one of the uniqueness of Christianity is its teaching about suffering. There is not nothing like this in any other religion or even secular writings about suffering. You know, Eastern religions, the teaching on suffering is to consider it as an illusion, you know, suffering as an illusion. That's they teach how to handle suffering and trials. And other schools of thoughts are suffering comes from comes to life, face it with courage, and don't fall apart, don't buckle under it. Just tell yourself that you can handle it, all right? The other school of thoughts are when suffering, like the Western culture, how we see suffering. Looked upon suffering as an intruder that comes to disrupt our peaceful life and cannot and should not be tolerated. You know, we need to get rid of it as quickly as possible. Suffering and joy cannot live together. It is either one or the other. So we might find it strange if a person talks about suffering and joy at the same time, but that is exactly what Peter is doing in the first chapter of 1 Peter. This 1 Peter is a book about suffering and how to handle suffering. And you will find expressions like greatly rejoice. We looked at that portion this morning. Just in red from 1 Peter chapter 1. expressions like greatly rejoice, exceeding joy, unspeakable joy, exceedingly glad. I mean, we might ask, what is this got to do with suffering? Peter says it has a lot to do with suffering. And Christianity is the only religion that say suffering is real. You will suffer grief under various trials. But Bible says trials and griefs are not pointless. It has a purpose. So I was looking at 1 Peter two times I spoke in the adult Sunday school. And the main verse I concentrated on was chapter 1, verse 6. Where it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. So my main point on the first week was from the last part of this verse that says, you have been grieved by various trials. That is, it is normal for a believer to experience grief because of various or many colored trials that comes into their life. We don't have to be confused about your own trials or some other believers going through suffering and trial. There is nothing abnormal about it. As if he can read our minds, Peter writes in chapter 4 of the same book and verse 12, he says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing is happening to you. He says, there is nothing strange about believers facing trials and difficulties in their life. And my main point on the second week was from the first part of the same verse. It says, in this you greatly rejoice. In other words, joy and grief coexist in a believer's life. The same time as believers go through extreme grief because of trial, they also experience extreme joy, exceeding joy. It is not like when you go through trials, you experience grief, and when you come out of it, you experience joy. No, that's not what Peter's saying here. He says, you experience grief and joy at the same time. And both of this can be found in verse 6 itself. Because verse 6 starts with the statement, you greatly rejoice. So I'm going to read today, I'm going to read from verse 6 through 12 of the same book, 6 through 12. We read it like this. In this great, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen you love, though now you do not see him yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully. He prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time that the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. But the question now is, how do we handle the suffering that comes our way? How do we get through suffering? What does Peter say about how to navigate through suffering and experience joy? So from this chapter 1, I want to look at what he had to say about it. Suffering are real. Trials are real in a believer's life. And Peter's main goal in writing this letter is to comfort and guide the people that are going through extreme trials and more coming in their way. So in verse 6, he said, in this you greatly rejoice. So what are we rejoicing in? You have grief, but we are rejoicing in what? We find that in verse 2 and 3. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. I will stop there. Notice when Peter is writing about how to handle suffering, first thing he does is to bring to our attention some extremely heavy topics. He's putting a strong foundation on which he is going to build his teaching on how to handle trouble. In this, you greatly rejoice. Peter says, if you want to joy while you go through suffering, you need to know the Bible. We need to know what election means. We need to know what foreknowledge means. We need to know what it means to be sanctified by the Spirit, what it means to be redeemed by the blood of Christ. We need to know what it means to be born again. We need to know the implications of resurrection. What the teaching of the Bible is regarding inheritance, salvation. So some people will tell you that what is important is practical application of the Bible for everyday life. Doctrine doesn't matter. Another saying is, doctrine divides, Jesus unites. Just give me Jesus. Don't tell me about doctrine. Those are for Bible teachers and preachers and such. Give me how I can apply Bible to everyday life. But Peter says here that you need to know a whole lot more than that. If you want to greatly rejoice while suffering knocks on our door, we need to know the foundation on which we can build our joy, and that is on the great doctrines of our Bible. Peter says that this is what's going to get us through tough times. Times of trials, times of grief. In this you greatly rejoice when we realize what God has done for us, what he is doing for us, how he is moving heaven and earth for us. That's what gets us through tough times. No trials can shake the core of your faith if you know the deep and wonderful teachings of the Bible. So if you want to greatly rejoice, verse 6, immerse yourself in the Word of God. So first, know the Word of God to carry us through trials and suffering and rejoice in what God has done for us and what he is doing for us. The second thing that helps us to rejoice while we go through trials in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So verse 3, our hope in Christ as point us beyond trials. Peter says, the second thing that we need to do is to handle the trial is to look beyond the trials. Isn't it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tell us the same thing. He says about our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus himself looked beyond the suffering and endured the cross and despised the shame because of the joy that was set before him, just as our Lord looked beyond the suffering, looked at the joy that was beyond the suffering in order for us to handle the trials. We should look beyond our trials and experience and enjoy the hope that is given to us. So our troubles last only for a little while. Our hope in Christ is forever. Peter called it a living hope. By calling it a living hope, he's saying our hope has life in it and therefore can give life to us. You know, time destroys most hopes. They fade and die, but Christians hope because it is a living hope. Passing of time only make it grow and make it more beautiful. So if our deepest hope is in the circumstances of life, when the circumstances go poorly, what happens? It takes away the joy of our life. And it goes well, we will be happy. It is one or the other. If everything goes well, we are happy. Otherwise, we are sad. Peter says, if our deepest hope are rooted in him, if he is your ultimate treasure, if that is our ultimate love, if that is our ultimate value, then when the circumstances go against us, it drives us more close to him. So the third thing that will help us to endure trials is to see trials as a purification of our faith and not as a destroyer of our faith. And that says in verse 7 and 8. Look at verse 7 and 8. It says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, said like this, everything is necessary that God sends. Nothing can be necessary that he withholds. If it is in your life, you need it, even if it is bad. If it is not in your life, you do not need it, even though you think you do. You know, Samuel Rutherford said, his wise love feeds us with hunger and it fattens us with famine. So Peter says that we should remember that our suffering are neither purposeless or fruitless. One of the benefits of suffering in a believer's life is that it is there to test the genuineness of our faith. Instead of destroying his faith, it becomes food for faith to feed on. And we remember Job, you know, suffered intensely and more severely than everyone that we can think of. And what did he say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In the same way, a fire purifies the gold without destroying it, your faith will become more genuine and become more real. So, not only that we should look beyond our grief and trials, our joy actually strengthened the very suffering we endure. If our hope is based on circumstances, like I said, it will destroy us. But if you put your hope in him, the same fire turns you into gold. Peter declares that God keeps us for glory by faith. And so if our faith must continue to endure in our lifelong pilgrimage, if our faith is to endure it, if it is to stand it, it must be purified. It must be stress tested. It must pass through the furnace. Trials should not surprise us or cause us to doubt God's faithfulness. Rather, it should be welcomed. We should actually be glad for them. Our trials keep trusting. They burn away our so-called self-confidence and drives us to the Savior, just as fire only removes combustible impurities and not destroy the gold, the trials. Only remove the impurities from our faith Peter says our faith is infinitely more precious than gold, and it must be proved and tested by trial. The next observation I want to make about how to handle trial is to remember that it is only for a little while. That we see that, verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. So Peter wants us to have the right perspective about trials and suffering. So when we consider our life in eternity, which God has promised us, the time that we are going to be spending with our Lord, the present life and its burdens and its trials have become so insignificant. It is not that it is not real, but by comparison to eternity, it is for a short time. It is just for a moment. So when you go through suffering, Peter wants us to remember that our hope in Christ points us beyond trials. Our trials only last for a little while, but our hope in Christ is forever. So now look at the fourth thing that helps us to endure trials, is to remember that there is a reward at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, Brother Justin read this portion this morning, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter says here that you can have joy while you are suffering when you remember that when Jesus comes, he will do far more than put an end to suffering. He will bring his reward of blessing. Our trials are never forgotten by the Lord. Psalm 56 and verse 8, we read that you number my wanderings, you put my tears into your bottle, are they not all in your book? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, Paul said, for our light affliction, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Romans chapter chapter 8, verse 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God will reward every instance of faith that stood the test. He will praise those who are joyfully suffered as they were surrounded by trials. He will award honor and glory to tested and tried believers who stood firm in their faith. But you know, many Bible scholars believe that verse 7 may have another meaning when it says, the genuineness of your faith may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. They believe that Peter may also referring to praise, honor, and glory that God receives from our proven faith. What God receives, the glory that he will receive from our proven faith. That it can be true, but I'm not really sure about that. But I really think it is talking about what I said first. Our faith will be rewarded, and it will be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The thing that because of the wording, the way it is stated, it can also have the other meaning. So I want to summarize what we had just, what we looked so far from chapter 1. Chapter 1 is all about suffering, all about how to handle suffering. Now, one of the things about suffering is if you haven't gone through one or many, you are living a very charmed life. You know, it is possible for each one of us to face trials. And Peter is giving us instructions as to how to handle them as it comes in our way. So in summary, I want to summarize one of the most important theme of 1 Peter is that in the Christian life, suffering and glory are bound together. Suffering and joy are bound together. And to make this point, he points us to Jesus Christ himself. And in the last part of verse 11, he says, suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. He says that our great forerunner, our Lord Jesus Christ, came to glory through suffering, and as a result, that is the pattern for his followers, for each one of us. No servant is above the master. What Peter is saying here is that we have a God who through suffering came to glory. We have a forerunner that showed us the way, and we have therefore our own path, that through suffering and only through suffering do we come to glory as well. The Word of God says, Peter says here, that suffering and glory are so bound together, and without suffering, there is no glory. You know, he is telling us, I want to summarize what Peter is telling us, how to handle the troubles, the suffering, the trials that comes in our way from first chapter. First thing we need to know is the God of the Bible. We need to know what God had done for us and what he is doing for us now. We need to know the great doctrines of the Bible. We need to know the great teachings of the Bible, the solid foundation on which we can stand and face the trials. You know, sometimes when a tragedy strike in U.S., one of the things that people do is they will have a candlelight vigil and prayer. And that's the way they are grieving. And there is nothing wrong with it. But sometimes I wonder, what is the basis of comfort in their life? How do they handle trials on a foundation which is more stronger than just an act of candlelights, act of doing a prayer? But we have, in 1 Peter, Peter is telling that he is putting a very strong foundation on which we are standing so that we can face our trials that comes our way. Second thing we need to do is to look beyond our trials. Look beyond the trials and be joyful in the living hope that he has given us. And know that the trials are not senseless or meaningless, but it purifies our faith and make it shine forth. Third, we need to have the right perspective about suffering. Compared to eternity, this is only for a little while, only for a moment. I think once I have made a comparison about how to view eternity and the length of eternity, and that is, suppose there is a bird that takes a grain of sand from one of the beaches and it flies to a distant planet and places it there, and say it takes the bird about 1,000 years to make that one round trip. Just imagine. And how long it will take that bird to transfer 1 square meter was one off that beach. How many thousands of years? How many thousands of years it will take that bird to empty one beach of this country? How long will it take that bird to empty all the beaches that are in the world? Even then, we are only made one step into eternity. So when we have the right perspective about eternity, our suffering and our difficulties and our pain, our sorrows is only for a moment. Only for a moment. I don't really want to make light of the suffering at all. As Peter says, Bible says, it is real. We go through grief of various kinds, many colored trials, but we have to have the right perspective so that we will not buckle under. Rather, we stood firm and have the joy of the Lord, experience the joy of the Lord. Four things that we have to remember is that there is a day coming. God will reward those who stood firm as they faced trials and suffering. We read that God will wipe away all our tears and more than compensate us for our pain and our sorrows. I think a lot of the people of God are going through various kinds of trials. No question about that. But Peter, as he is writing to a group of believers that are scattered throughout Asia Minor, he's telling them, as they were facing various trials, and he knows that the most difficult times are yet to come for them because of the persecution of the Roman Emperor. But he's telling them, preparing them, he's making them ready for what is to come into their life. And I think that is exactly what he's telling us this morning. Be ready for the sufferings. It is real. It will come your way. But take courage and start immersing yourself in the Word of God so that you will have a very strong foundation to stand and look beyond the trials. Look beyond the pain and the suffering and look beyond what is lying ahead of us. And look at the time of eternity that we will be spending with him. There is no suffering there. We will be looking at our Savior and we will be joyful. He will more than compensate us for the suffering that we endured. And what we suffer here is to be found in the praise and honor and glory. And it purifies us rather than destroy us. May God bless us with this portion from 1 Peter. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning time that we could come into thy presence. And Father, we remember thy people that are going through various trials and sufferings in the world. Some are suffering under a cruel government. Suffering under persecution because of their testimony for Christ, because of their life for Christ, because of their zeal to share the gospel. And Father, some are suffering because of our health, because of the various circumstances of our life that brings grief into our life. Father, so this morning, we take heed to thy word and what Peter has to tell us and what the Holy Spirit has to tell us about our suffering. And Father, we thank you that we have such a strong foundation that thou hast put where we can stand and where we can have victory. Where we, Father, will not be destroyed, but rather be strengthened. Without destruction, we are purified. And Father, these sufferings, again and again, help us to remember that this is not our home. We are on our way. We are in the wilderness. Our home is ahead of us, and help us to endure. Help us to passionately study thy word and look into thy face every day, so that we may be able to strengthen and be able to face our trials. We thank you for each and every one here, and also for those who are joining us on Zoom. And thank you for thy faithfulness towards this assembly and each one of the believers here. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, and we pray all these in the very precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.